This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Somebody that always does a great job in terms of treating people's livers and giving us insight into healthcare is Dr. Joe Galati. He is a liver specialist, a wellness expert, a speaker, and an author, someone we've been very, very pleased to have on the program before. Dr. Galati, welcome back.
Well, Frank, it is always a real pleasure to be with you in the audience and spend a little time early this morning with you.
Well, likewise. Hey, last time we spoke, which was over a year ago, we were talking about how everyone was obese, and basically you talked about how the prevalence of obesity in the United States has led to a real problem with fatty liver disease, which is obviously your right. area of expertise. That was before all these Ozempic-style drugs were a thing. Are right. people still obese? Are we over it? Is obesity gone?
No. The good news is there's job security for those of us in liver disease. No, the bottom line is 100 million people. It's a staggering number, Frank. 100 million people have fatty liver, and it's the leading cause of cirrhosis and liver cancer. Now, with these new Ozempic-type drugs, which, you know, I know a lot. I know a couple of days ago you were talking about it with Oprah, but they're very, very effective. The only problem I have with them is that it does not teach people how to eat better. And we have a lot of patients that for one reason or another, either their pharmacy drops them, their insurance company, they can't afford it, whatever the case may be. As soon as you get off it, they lose, mm-hmm. they gain all the weight back, and they're back to being sick and diabetic, and their heart disease acts up. So unless we get behind sort of the screen to teach these people how to eat better, it's going to be a very tough road.
But if the choice is to continue to have people be obese and deal with the variety of health issues, including fatty liver disease, or lose weight and, you know, be in a healthier place, even if you are dependent upon these drugs, the choice, it sounds like, in your view, that's preferable is to use the drugs.
It really is. And I would think that, you know, these drugs will get better with time, hopefully the availability. And all of us in healthcare, we're going to learn how to really use these in an optimal way. And so it's a story that hasn't, we haven't seen the full throes of this yet, but it's still a big healthcare problem.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where we go. They're predicting, from what I've seen, that this could be the best-selling class of drugs of all time, which is saying quite a bit. So it's interesting.
No, it really is. Now, just a bit of breaking news. Last Thursday, a week ago, a company by the name of Madrigal got FDA approval for the first drug to treat fatty liver. So in the past with fatty liver, we've been weight loss, stop alcohol, lose about 10% of your body weight. But now there is a medicine. It's the commercial name is Rezdiffra. And I don't know where the heck they got that name from. But anyway, it is the only drug. But the key thing here is it's only FDA approved for people that have more advanced fibrosis or scarring in the liver. So on the equivalent, if you were thinking in the Ozempic mindset, it would be for people that were only a body mass index of 40 and over, let's say. So lesser obese people, you know, for Ozempic wouldn't be allowed. But this is targeting the more advanced, more high-risk people for developing cirrhosis and liver cancer. So again, it's a start. It's another tool in the toolbox.
You know, when we talk about fatty liver disease, maybe it's a mistake on my part to assume that everybody knows what that is. You alluded to cirrhosis, which I think most people associate with alcohol and drinking, which we're going to talk about in a second. But you mean to tell me that obesity, which I think a lot of folks may associate with heart disease, may associate with diabetes, may associate with high blood pressure, obesity could actually have a similar effect on your liver to alcohol?
Oh, absolutely. And for the longest time, we called it non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because we do know that with alcohol abuse, you get a fatty liver. We've known that for 200 years. But the fatty liver looks identical to what we see with alcohol fatty liver. And again, the fat triggers your immune system to go berserk. It causes inflammation. Your liver enzymes are elevated. And that inflammation leads to progressive scarring. And over a period of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, the end result is you get scarring of the liver, which is cirrhosis. And these patients behave clinically, meaning they have the same complications as the alcoholic that develops cirrhosis. So this is a very, very sick group of people, and many need liver transplant, which is a shame to think that a lifestyle set of decisions or a lifestyle condition, you eat too much, is going to lead to cirrhosis and end organ damage. It's really crazy.
All right. Well, we're talking with Dr. Joe Galati. If you want to learn more about his work, you want to check out his book, you can go to his website, drjoegalati.com, G-A-L-A-T-I.com. Dr. Galati, right now I have not had any alcohol, not a drop of alcohol, since Ash Wednesday. So it's about 31 days. So I have no problem judging everyone else that has had even a drop of alcohol in that time.
I agree. Perfect.
And I see the headline in the New York Times this week, the top cause of alcohol-related deaths can go undetected for years. Evidently, it says, and this is what prompted me to want to have you on, deaths from alcohol-related liver disease are rising, especially among younger adults and women. Give us the breakdown, Doc. What do the statistics say about alcohol and what it's doing to our liver and who it's being done to?
Yeah, well, I think your point is that there are a lot of people that drink heavily, and they sort of go with the flow, and they really have no outward sign that there's trouble. And so they continue to drink heavily or socially, and their liver disease will progressively get worse over time until literally one day the shoe falls off and they have a major life-threatening complication. That's when I see them. And it's almost like you have a crystal ball, Frank, where we see the patient and you get this history of, yes, I've had 3-4 cocktails, glasses of wine every day for the last 10, 15 years. And I felt fine. I was successful making money, raising a family, but now you're dying in my ICU of liver failure. That is probably one of the saddest things you could see as a physician. Now, from a number standpoint, over the past 5 years, there have been 40,000 extra deaths related to alcohol, dying from liver disease. The troubling part that during that time, the death rate in men rose 27%, but in women, it's up 35%.
Wow.
And that is the shocking part. And I would say the vast majority of the public, people listening this morning, are saying, really? How the hell could that be? But it is the truth. And again, not to be the smart aleck doctor here, we've been seeing this for years. And at every opportunity, we try to educate our patients and the public. It's not always getting through, but this is a huge public health problem.
Clearly, you know, what's interesting here is the effect on young people specifically. When we think about a lot of these vices. We think of things like smoking. Oh, people started smoking before everybody knew how bad it was for you. This is really interesting in that young people who you would think would know better are indulging in this kind of destructive behavior. What are they attributing the rise in liver problems, alcohol-related liver problems among young people to? Is this a cultural departure? What's going on here?
You know, it was the Centers for Disease Control that on a regular basis publishes this data and updates looking at 1 year, 3 year, 5 year data. But what they're finding in the period of time that they studied this, binge drinking in adolescents and young adults is up. And binge drinking is defined really as for women more than four or more drinks in 2 hours. Or greater than or equal to five in 2 hours. So, you know, you're at a party and you get wasted. That's binge drinking. But, you know, a lot of it is, and I don't know where to point the finger in a sense, that there is, number one, more access to alcohol. There are more alcoholic-type beverages. And if you look at them, this is not the bottle of whiskey that your dad drank. These drinks are really packaged pretty slickly. Mm. And there's a lot of reports about the social media presence of these beverages where there is no doubt. I don't think you could argue this, Frank. The younger adults, starting with teenagers through probably 25, 30 years old, they are being exposed to all of this very slick social media marketing. And the data shows that the people that look at and engage with alcohol-related sites on social media drink more. And so the manufacturers are loving it. I think me, I'm not liking it so much. But at the same point, I don't want anybody to think I'm going to be writing in for prohibition. That's not where I'm at. But It's a problem, and it comes down to education.
Well, so let's talk about that. A lot of people listening right now, we're going into the weekend, which, you know, when it's not the Lenten season of sacrifice, that's when I would do most of my alcohol indulging. What is a safe amount of alcohol for an adult to consume?
Well, this is where in the office people roll their eyes. For women, it's one alcoholic beverage per day, and that is a standard beer, 5 ounces of wine, or an ounce and a half of distilled spirit. For men, it's two. Now, people are tricky. They'll say, well, okay, if I'm allowed two a day.
Right. Can I bank them?
Can I bank them? Can I have, like, you know,
14 just on Saturday?
Yeah. Can I have, right. Yeah, seven on Friday and seven on Saturday? And I say, no, you cannot do that. So that is what we get into. Now, getting back to this whole fatty liver story, okay, it's like we can't get rid of it. If you have a fatty liver and you consume alcohol, even I would say in the mild to moderate amount, nothing that would probably raise eyebrows, the effect on the liver is that much more intense, putting you at a higher risk for cirrhosis. Now, you've got millions of people walking around that they really don't know they have fatty liver. They're just sort of bouncing around, having a glass or two of wine in the evening, and bingo, they have cirrhosis by the time they're 35, 40. So it's really, really, again, it's awareness, Frank, and that's why I'm so happy to always come on with you.
How does someone know whether or not they have fatty liver?
Well, there's really a couple ways. One is to do a risk profile. If you are obese, okay, if you have a body mass index, this is a low bar of 30 or greater, okay? If you have high blood pressure, if you have type 2 diabetes or prediabetes, and elevated cholesterol or triglycerides, the blood lipids, there is probably a 70% chance just by that profile you have a fatty liver. That's called metabolic syndrome. So metabolic syndrome goes hand in hand with fatty liver. Number two, if you have that profile and you go to the doctor and you have elevated liver chemistries, your blood tests, that'll be the ALT and the AST on your blood test, then there's even a greater chance that you have fatty liver if you're obese and you have these other things. Last thing would be an ultrasound of the liver, maybe a CAT scan or MRI. The report may say whatever else they find, but by the way, you have changes of a fatty liver. So it's by inspection, you know, just your risk factors, lab work, or direct imaging of the liver.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Handling legal matters is stressful. So let the law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. provide you with the insightful counsel you deserve. The law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. has successfully handled thousands of cases for 25 plus years. They focus on elder law and estate planning, but are equipped to navigate you through all stages of family law and divorce to real estate law and probate. The law offices of Frank Bruno. Call 718-418-5000 or visit them at frankbrunolaw.com. That's frankbrunolaw.com. Frank Bruno. He's your numero uno.
One listener sent in a question for you, which I thought was a good one, and it had to do with the rise of medical consolidation. There are fewer and fewer family doctors who are solo practitioners. It seems like everybody's part of these larger medical groups, and some of them are even, I would say most of them are probably even affiliated with larger hospitals. What do you think that that's done to medical care in this country? Has that been a help? Has that hurt? Has it neither been a help nor a hindrance? What's your view on medical consolidation?
I think it's a problem. I think it's a problem. And all I could really say, Frank, is that these patients with alcohol-related disease, fatty liver, and I'm sure if you had a cardiologist on, they would say the same thing about hypertension and cholesterol. We are getting late referrals. People are coming literally years late. They've known they've had a fatty liver, and they're coming late. And at the primary care level, your internal medicine, your family doctor, somehow the chronic medical conditions, and for somebody else, it may be, you know, maybe depression, it may be arthritis. These chronic problems are slipping through the great. And I don't know if it's because they're too busy, they're running after certain performance numbers that they have to hit, but it pains me to think that we're not providing the best care possible. And what has changed? You know, there's less people that are in private practice. They're all part of, you know, it's like working for General Motors, a lot of these doctors, and they're not happy. And it almost seems, and I talk to my colleagues, like they're working paycheck to paycheck just to get paid, punch in and punch out. They don't really have a connection with the patient. And I think care is going down the tubes. And I see it at my end as sort of a specialist. It's not pretty out there.
Doesn't sound like, and this may be an inopportune time to bring this up, but all this talk of overeating and obesity reminds me that 2 years ago, you were kind enough to send me a pecan pie for the holidays, but I did not get one last year. Is that your way of telling me that our family is consuming too much pie?
Well, look, I think I could still order one for Easter. I've got your address, and maybe we'll do that. Or better yet, would love to have you down here and give you a little Texas hospitality. But, you know, when you mentioned Escarole, me and liver and Escarole, Frank, you cannot find Escarole if your life counted on it. I go to the supermarket looking for Escarole. You know what they give me? Romaine lettuce. And it's the Italian food down here coming from New York. I'm a New York food snob. I've been here 30 years, but I have to go back to New York to get my fix of escarole and good ravioli and pizza.
Duly noted. Dr. Joe Galati, it's a treat to have you on. I hope we can do this again soon.
Okay, Frank, thank you so much.
Thank you. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, be my guest. 1-800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.